So, welcome to everybody who's tuned in and chosen to have a look at the SAIC podcast. My name is Nicola Clausum. I'm a pediatric anesthetist at the University Hospital of Odense in Denmark. And I just got out of the ESPA session, which we were invited to organize here. And we had 5 lightning talks on difficult subjects which are currently discussed within pediatric anesthesia. And with me now I have Laszlo Wutskits, who was one of the speakers at the session, who will enlighten us on relevant outcomes in pediatric anesthesia research. And I trust Laszlo to give a short introduction by himself. Please, Laszlo.
So thank you very much for the opportunity of this podcast. My name is Laszlo Vucic. I'm head of pediatric anesthesia at the University Hospital of Geneva in Switzerland. I'm also past president of the European Society for Pediatric Anesthesiology.
Well, welcome. And should we just get going with the questions?
Absolutely.
Yes, perfect. So there's been quite a debate about outcomes in pediatric anesthesia, but why is that? Why is it so difficult to define relevant outcomes in pediatric anesthesia research?
Well, outcomes indeed are pretty difficult to define in pediatric anesthesia and in general, because if you put it in a broader perspective, if you think about outcomes, the first two that comes into mind in terms of perioperative care or even at the broader scale of medicine are mortality, that really counts, and morbidity. And these outcomes in pediatric anesthesia, actually they probably are not the best outcomes, because both mortality and morbidity is fortunately very low in pediatric anesthesia. If you go for mortality, if you look at mortality of pediatric mortality of anesthesia in adult populations, perioperative mortality up to 30 days, it's in general population it's easily between 3-5%, and in pediatric population it's less than 0.2-0.3%. So that is why it's quite difficult to pick these traditional outcomes as an outcome of interest when we are doing studies in pediatric anesthesia.
Well, that would be one way to put that, but our skeptical adult colleagues might state that, well, isn't that just because pediatric anesthesia is much safer than adult anesthesia?
Well, you can say so as well, but it gets back to the same questions from the research perspective. If you want to look at outcomes, what are you want to looking at that really counts? And if you say that, well, you can say that pediatric anesthesia is safer as long as you consider these outcomes as mortality or even morbidity. Mm-hmm. Because if you consider morbidity again, we don't have any data on morbidities such as in adult populations where you have like myocardial infarctus, stroke, postoperative cognitive disorders. We don't have such outcomes, or acute kidney injury. We don't have such outcomes in terms of morbidity. So yeah, you can argue that it's pediatric anesthesia is safer. So if your readout is uniquely mortality, then we could say indeed that it is safer. Now the question is why it is safer. Probably we can go a long way on that. Is it because those who really care about these populations have a specific training? Mm-hmm. But again, there are no real data showing that neither.
A short comment on that. One of the confusing moments might actually be based on our own way of communicating pediatric anesthesia, because we very often name the area as one, but everybody knows that there's a great difference between outcomes of relevancy for an infant and of an adolescent. So there might be something to catch up on there in terms of communicating and picking our relevant patient groups.
Yes, absolutely. A very good remark, because if you look into the overall mortality, which is around, let's say, 0.1-0.3%, 30-day mortality, If you go down to, let's say, neonates or neonatal population, it's way higher. It's between 3 and 5%, depending on the different studies investigating that. And so if you focus specifically in these populations, then indeed mortality can be an outcome. Having said that, the studies such as the Nectarine and other studies looking into neonatal perioperative mortality didn't show anesthesia as a factor that could lead to this mortality. So usually these kids, these neonates are already very sick, they are septic, and they already in inotropic support, ventilatory support when they come to the OR. I mean, those who really don't make it, unfortunately, beyond 1 month of where the survival is compromised. So, and in these very sick kids, anesthesia has never been demonstrated as a contributing factor.
But do you think that adverse events is a relevant outcome at all?
Yes, so adverse events, indeed, that's the outcome that most pediatric anesthesiologists use in most studies, especially in quality improvement studies or in studies with actually, by large, in all epidemiological prospective studies, they look into adverse events. So I think you have to realize what adverse events is. Adverse events is an unexpected occurrence, which is a loose definition, because let's take laryngospasm. You take a first year resident with you to the ENT room, and then to let him or her extubate the patient and there is a laryngospasm. Is this an unexpected occurrence? I'm pretty sure that it's normal that it happens with someone who doesn't know how to do it. The big question is to be there with expertise to handle this. So for me, if you have a laryngospasm, for example, in this situation, it's not an unexpected event. So the definition is very loose. And also, if you look into the Nectarine study with the unexpected events or the critical events, there was a huge variability between individuals rating what they consider as an unexpected event. What is the blood pressure drop? What is the respiratory compromise, which they consider unexpected? So all this means that it's a loose definition. Clearly, you can use it for describing the quality of anesthesia. But the real thing is that you don't really know how it relates to morbidity or mortality. There are not a single study, and it would be indeed very difficult to do it, if there is a causal relationship between these adverse events and mortality. Let's take just desaturation. Many people use oxygen desaturation below 90 as they mark it as an adverse event. But if you have a desat even down to 85 for 1 or 2 or 3 minutes, does that really matter? I have no idea, to be very honest. As long as you can manage the anesthesia appropriately and then come back with the saturations.
But you're actually feeding input for another podcast, because we don't even know so many of our vitals that we're measuring. We don't even know what the normal values for that individual patient, what they should be. But yeah, let's save that for another podcast.
So that shows really pretty well, because we don't know what these factors should be. So it's very difficult to define what an adverse event is or not.
Yes. And you could say that, do you think that studies where the data collection is based on self-reporting, is that good enough, being a devil's advocate?
Well, we don't have better than that so far. Definitely not good enough. I think that would be very nice, but it's a tricky question to set up studies where we will prospectively do this. Having said that, there are some studies from the adult literature looking into the anesthesiology skill or the number of handovers and the postoperative outcomes. Again, the thing is, what will be our outcome? So if we line up hundreds of pediatric anesthesiologists, what's the outcome measure you will look into to tell who is performing better than the other? That's all the it's a chicken and egg question, but that's all the difficulties to determine what to measure when you focus on on outcome and how pediatric anesthesiology skills can relate to outcome. But biologically speaking, there is clearly a link or there is a biological rationale how you conduct your anesthesia and what the outcome is, yes.
But you could also claim that if the rate of adverse events is low, that's also because your selection of patients versus provider of the anesthesia is working. So the right people are scheduled to do the anesthesia on the right patients.
So if you say so, why is it, if this is one of the main reasons, then why you don't have such results in the adults? In adult anesthesia, you don't select appropriately the patients and the anesthesiologist.
Yeah,
I think
agree.
It's much to have also with the with the health of the kids. Again, those who are really sick, they die in the elite populations.
Yes. Well, but since we agree that morbidity and mortality are difficult outcomes to assess, do you have suggestions for alternative outcomes that might be of relevance?
So one thing that we as pediatric anesthesiologists, at least a bunch of us, are thinking about to look into patient-centric outcomes, and that should go through stakeholder engagement. By stakeholders, I mean the patient itself, also the parents, the caregivers, the healthcare decisions, the economics. And probably one way to go forward is to identify what really matters beyond mortality and mortality. Probably it's not the saturation, which goes down just to 89 for 2 minutes. Maybe it's not the important. The thing that is important, whether the child is doing right after the operating, coming out from the operating room, maybe it's the emergence delirium, maybe it's the post-operative behavior in the first 2, 3, 4 weeks, maybe it's how the parents are satisfied with the perioperative organization. So there are many potential things, patient-centric outcomes, and we have the pediatric perioperative outcome groups who are now working on that. That's an international venture that is led by Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, where we are about to identify through stakeholder engagement these what we call the core outcome sets to decide what are the outcomes that really matters to the patients. And then we could imagine to start studies using, in all studies related to outcome, we would use these core outcome sets. And that could also help a better implementation into clinical practice, because if we focus on outcomes that really matter, then the clinician who will read the result of the study can directly implement it to his or her daily practice.
Yeah, interesting. And just to give listeners an idea, what's the time frame of those core outcome measures?
So we've already done a systematic review with currently existing measures. There are pretty much of them, and now we have just finished the phase of the stakeholder engagement with interviews with parents, children, surgeons, nurses, anesthesiologists, and we are about to analyze the data. So hopefully within a couple of months we can say more about that.
Oh yeah, so that's very soon. So there is light at the end of the tunnel, that's what I'm hearing you saying. Well, to sum this up to our listeners, well, we do have some work ahead of us still. Morbidity and mortality are not ideal outcomes in pediatric anesthesia, and there will be help within a short period of time to be collected at the recommendations of a international core outcome measurement group.
Yes.
Well, with that, I thank you for participating.
Thank you.
And I hope that many of you will find this podcast on the and listen to it afterwards, after the conference, also on the ISAIC website. Thank you.
Thank you.